Hey, how's the economy affecting all of you? Kind of reminds me like the frog in the pan as the water starts to slowly heat up. And before the frog knows it, he's frog legs. He's cooked. He's dinner. It's interesting that dentistry is an essential component of healthcare and the dental industry is a significant contributor to the economy. But in recent years, the economy has had a profound impact on the dental industry, and particularly on the revenue of dental practices. And this podcast aims to explore how the economy is affecting dentists in terms of their incomes, patient volume, and business operations. In fact, I just saw a request to give information on how the economy is impacting me from one of our major dental players. Interesting that they're wanting to know too. It's affecting them. We begin our podcast right there.
Welcome, all of you fantastic dental podcast listeners, to the My Practice, My Business Dental Podcast Show, where we help dentists profit and thrive with excerpts from the clinical business of dentistry training here at My Practice, My Business. We'll be addressing and answering questions with current trends dentists and their teams face each and every day in their pursuit of this wonderful career we call dentistry. And now the host of our show, the clinical director and president at My Practice, My Business, Dr. Rob Thorup.
You know, the economy's impact on the income of dentists has been significant. And with the rise of unemployment rates and economic instability, a lot of our patients are unable to afford dental services. It doesn't mean that we give them away either. I mean, at the beginning, they say they can't afford it, but they tend to always find ways to pay for the services that they need. But a lot of people have lost their dental insurance coverage as a result of job losses, and that's further reduced the number of patients that are out there actually seeking dental services. I've had patients that have been out of work and are just now coming back from the pandemic still. It's like, wow, you haven't been in for years, you know? And they're like, yeah, you know, it's been at home, you know, and taking unemployment. Oh, okay, thank you very much. And that's caused a significant decrease in the number of patients visiting us and leading to a reduction in revenue for you and I, right? And, well, you know, sometimes it actually, I'm going to be so bold to say, yeah, sometimes it makes up for it, though, because they're not brushing and flossing while they're at home all those years either. That's another story. But the cost of running a dental practice, I don't know if you guys know this, but it's actually increased significantly over the years. I'm going to reach through this speaker and smack Rob, right? It's upside his head. Okay, the cost of dental supplies, equipment, rent, and utilities has increased, and that's further reduced the profitability of dental practices. As a result, you guys, a lot of us have had to reduce staff and not work as many hours just to maintain the practice's profitability. Isn't that interesting? Add to that, PPO plans maintaining the same reimbursement rates or worse, lowering them at a time of inflation and economic downturns, and practices are working harder and simply seeing their net revenues declining at a rate that's never before been seen in the past 50 years or more. Look what's going on out there in California again with Delta Dental of California reducing their reimbursement rates upwards of 20%. And they're going after them, but it's like, well, what are the patients paying in premiums, you know, my California doctor friends? They've got to make enough in premiums to be able to pay out more, or maybe, I don't know, the multi-million dollar leadership maybe takes a cut in pay. Silly me for even asking such a thing. There's an impact on patient volume. The pandemic has also affected the number of patients visiting dental practices, like I mentioned, and many people are afraid of contracting COVID-19 still in our offices, and they're avoiding visits in dental practices still to this day. It's kind of crazy. This has also resulted in a significant decrease in patient volume and revenue for practices. Our own federal government did an extremely fantastic job of scaring the crap out of the citizens of our nation, so much that even with all the truth that has surfaced on the wearing of masks, patients to this day are afraid to schedule with their oral health care providers. And if you have a head cold, that's considered COVID. If you have the flu, it's now termed COVID. And if you have an ingrown toenail, you probably have COVID. And when people hear the word COVID, they go into extreme isolation for weeks and everybody pushes the panic button still. So this is so unfortunate. Thank heaven for the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins for presenting the truth about this mess. So does this impact our business operations? Of course it does. The economy has also affected the way dental practices operate. And with the decrease in patient volume and or revenue, a lot of dentists have had to reduce their staff, like I said, or work longer hours to maintain their practice's profitability, cramming the schedule, you know. The cost of running a dental practice has increased, leading to higher overhead costs for dentists and employees wanting more salary. And as a result, a lot of dentists have had to adjust their business operations to remain financially stable, or at least attempt to be. And in all the years that we've been training dental team members, I have never seen so many practices running like hamsters on the wheel, just going 100 miles an hour. They are cramming their schedules to no extent, running double hygiene and doing all they can do just to produce a sliver of corporate profitability. It's like, and then the employees want higher wages, and hygienists want to be paid more by running double hygiene because they're working twice as hard, right? Another thing that we're seeing is dental practices have this mental block that their patients are suffering like they are, and therefore they cannot possibly charge their patients for the dental procedures that they perform. And after all, the economy is in a sad state of disrepair, and therefore dentists should be doing free dentistry. It's common knowledge that you dentists are super rich, right? So therefore, you ought to be doing free dentistry. That's what everybody thinks. Let's not forget that offering value-added services and charging for them has been effective in both good and bad economies. Remember the book that some of you through training, teach about a book called Trading Up. And in that book, Howard Schultz of Starbucks and Leslie Wexner of Limited Brands, they are quoted as saying, American consumers love wonderful goods and services, and they're willing to pay for those services if they understand them. They go on to say how the middle market consumer will trade up for things that are emotionally meaningful to them and trade down in other areas to be able to afford those purchases that connect with them emotionally. What are we doing? What are we doing to make dental care emotional to our patients? Think that through, you know? Are we selling the benefits of good oral health care, or are we just talking about the features? You know, how do you like chewing food, patient? You know, how much bleeding is good to have there in your gums? You know, do you want the infection removed, or should we just maintain the stability of the infection? These are all things that, you know, we talk about instead of talking about infections circulating in the bloodstream and affecting the heart, liver, kidneys, lung, and brain tissue. We talk about deep pockets, like pockets are in pants. That's what patients refer to them as. You need a detailed car wash. You need a deep cleaning. Oh, is that opposed to a shallow cleaning? I mean, are we really connecting with them emotionally? What are we sending them home with to connect emotionally after they leave the office? Because remember, when they leave the office, they forget 85% of what they hear right when they leave. So they concluded that in that book, the middle market consumer, which makes up the large majority of our patients, they'll make emotionally meaningful purchases in both good and bad economies. Isn't that interesting? And I want you guys to know that I personally have lived through two bad economies and, had a little bit of struggling going on during those bad economies, but my practice didn't struggle nearly as much as the majority of practices. And why is that? Because we always offer choice and we always offer good to great. And we always have our patients pay for that choice at better, you know, better materials, products, medication, materials, whatever it might be. We have them pay for value-added service. What a concept. And we still, in good economies, we run about a 99%+ case acceptance rate on value-added service. And in the downturn economies, we still ran between 85 and 87%. Isn't that interesting? So case acceptance in our practice still ran in the 90+ percentile, which is huge. So it's like, these are the things that we train on in teaching you how to present treatment to your patients in a non-threatening way and doing it with what we call soft selling instead of, like, you know, making a patient feel bad just because they don't choose a better material, or make them feel bad because they didn't accept our case presentation, but also explaining to them the why behind treatment. And when we explain that why, just like Simon Sinek teaches, when the patients understand the why, that emotionally connects them, it triggers the limbic system in the brain where all purchasing decisions are made. And those are the key things that we need to do in these downturn economies. That's the power play. So what does that mean for us? It's simple. Don't judge your patients. Treat every one of them as if they want the best dentistry and they're willing to and able to pay for it. And again, don't judge them. I use this example in our training, so I'm just going to share it with all of you. I had this guy, Rick, came into my practice, and Rick was in his mid-70s, let's just say, and super healthy guy. And he came in with a pitcher of all people, and he came in at the noon hour, and he pulls out a pitcher of Tom Cruise. And I'm looking at that going, and he points at it, he goes, "I want my smile to look like his." Like of hundreds of actors you could pull out, you pull out Tom Cruise? Okay. Well, you know the case. He's older, teeth are kind of, little showing vertical fractures, a little bit of wear. And a little gray. And who comes into his life? One of our best marketing individuals came into Rick's life. Who's that? Oh, that would be a grandchild. The grandchild said to Grandpa, "Grandpa, your teeth are ugly." Oh, talk about, nothing's worse than having a grandchild speak truthfully. Why can't they just lie? "Grandpa, your belly is huge." That's what I get. I'm like, okay, my belly's not that big. Can I lay on your belly? No, it's not a pillow. So these are things that grandkids, will do to us. And that's what happened to Rick. And I looked at Rick and I'm like, his teeth were functional. They're working. There's no pain, discomfort. But Rick wanted to look better, even in his mid-70s. And I'm going, what's going through my mind? You know what's going through my mind. Rick, how long are you going to live? I didn't ask him the question, but that was what went through my mind. So I start profiling Rick. How long is this guy going to live? What's it? And how much is this going to cost him? And I literally told Rick, I said, "Rick, in order for me to do a cosmetic case like that on your upper and lower teeth," I said, "my friend, you're looking at about $20,000. Now, I had completely judged this guy and thought, there is no way in this world this guy's going to be able to afford this. He walked into my practice, so I'm not giving you the full picture. He walked into my practice with farmer overalls on that looked like he'd been out in the fields, shoveling manure and, milking the cows and feeding the bunny rabbits. I don't know. It's like... And worked on the tractor for half the day too while he was at it. That's kind of how he presented in my office. And I'm thinking, this guy, "Rick, your teeth look great." I wanted to build up his self-esteem. I didn't want him to feel bad. I wanted to kind of turn that corner from what the granddaughter had said to him. So I'm like, okay. I said, "Rick, honestly, your teeth are functional. They look pretty good for a mid-70 guy. You look actually great." He had all of his teeth. What a concept. And I said, I told him, "Rick, that's going to be about a $20,000 case for me to do." And I said, I'd rather you spend that money, going on a trip with your wife or taking the grandkids to Disneyland or whatever, I'd said that to him. And then I had some other people out in my reception area while I'm telling this story, and they're kind of listening to me talk to him, because he's just laying it all out there on the table. Speaking of laying it out there on the table, when I told him it was going to be about $20,000, he reached down into both pockets and pulled out two rolls, one on each pocket, rolls of $100 bills. So immediately with my little bit of law enforcement background that I had, I looked at him. I'm like, this dude's a drug runner. That's what this guy does for a living. He's running drugs, okay? He pulls out these rolls of hundreds. He counts them out on the counter where all the patients in the reception area are watching. He counts out $18,000 in $100 bills. I looked at Rick because, and he said to me, "Is this enough to get started, Dr. Rob?" And I looked at my office manager, Debbie, and I said, "Debbie, hey, cancel." I said, "Rick, can you start now?" And he goes, "Yes." I said, "Debbie, cancel the afternoon. We're going to bring Rick in right now." And why did I bring Rick in? He could die tomorrow. Okay? No, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, that did go through my mind. But hey, so this guy gets his work done in his mid-70s. This guy lived to be 92 years of age. And was he a happy camper? Absolutely. Absolutely he was. I, from that point on, never judged a patient ever again. So how's the economy affecting us? Maybe we're the ones that are you know, prejudging what's really affecting us. Maybe we need to be treating our patients as if they want the treatment and they're willing to pay for it, okay? And it's like that's a cosmetic case, but what about other cases that are more need-based dentistry? Absolutely. I mean, it's patients will make that decision, just like Howard Schultz of Starbucks and Leslie Wexner of Limited Brands in the book called Trading Up, just like they stated. Our patients will trade up in one area like dentistry. They'll trade up to have that work done, and they'll trade down in other areas that may not be as important, but only if we are emotionally making dentistry that choice. So what does that mean for us? It's simple. Don't judge them. All right? Never judge your patients. So the economy has had a significant impact on dentists and the dental industry as a whole. We've seen that. We've seen prices go up. I just saw Henry Schein make another increase of 5% with Dentrix across the board. You know, all of them, Patterson, Burkhart, all of them have increased their pricing. Why? Well, because it's the economy, stupid, right? That's, I love that phrase. The decrease in patient volume and revenue, that also affects the profitability of dental practices, leading to adjustments in business operations. And while the implementation of, now we're seeing telemedicine, teledentistry services come up, and we're trying to use that to increase profitability. Shoot, I saw that in the ADA news. I just want y'all to know that I've always given my cell phone number out to every one of my patients. Every one of my patients know that they can call me 24/7. And the fun thing is I respond. But I have more of a cottage-type practice with around 1,250 active patients. And I love practicing that way. I take care of them. They take care of me. But we're seeing that implementation take place, and that was a big deal, how you can increase revenue. It's like, whatever. And then cramming the schedule and working longer hours and dealing with dental insurance reimbursements and employee wages going up has allowed practices to adapt to the new economic reality of whether they want to or not. But it shouldn't come out of your pocket, doc. You need to find ways to be profitable. The long-term impact of the economy on our dental industry, it's still uncertain. We don't know where it's going to go. That's the only thing we know that's certain. So dentists and dental practices, we have to continue to monitor and adjust to economic changes that ensure long-term viability for our dental businesses. It used to be that we would only raise our fees once a year. Maybe we need to raise them more often. Maybe we need to make sure that we're maintaining profitability. This is where my practice, my business comes into play. You guys know that have been our clients who are listening to this. We teach dentists and their teams, the entire team needs to understand the clinical business of dentistry and how to be profitable on procedures with both PPO and fee-for-service patients. I can't tell you how many clients come through, we look at their fee-for-service fees and they're not high enough. And best of all, we guarantee our training. One of the docs that came through our training goes, "I was listening to your podcast, and you guarantee your training. Did you know you guarantee your training? Because you told me you guarantee your training all the time on your podcast." Well, I can't help it. We do. We are literally the only consulting company I know out there that if you don't make increased net revenue, we don't get paid. And so call us for details if you're interested. And I hope all of you have a great and profitable day, because you certainly do deserve it. You work hard. Dentistry is not an easy profession to be in. And for heaven's sakes, if your wages are continually going down, doc, and you're having a hard time paying your team what they need to be paid, deserve to be paid, not what they want to be paid. We know that they all want to make more than maybe what they should, but having the ability, the profitability to pay them what they're worth and to keep that great staff on board, and especially you, Doc, to keep you energized in dentistry and to be having fun producing and dentistry and being profitable at what you do, that's where stresses are alleviated. So if you're not experiencing that, please give us a call. Thanks for listening, you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for being with us today. Since 2006, My Practice, My Business has been teaching dentists and their teams business skills, dental insurance contractual protocols, and state laws governing how to profitably bill patients fairly for the need-based services they provide. What's more, we guarantee our training, unlike other dental consulting companies in the industry. Simply stated, if you don't increase your net revenue, we don't get paid. We call it dental consulting the way it should be. We believe there's never been a more important time than now for dentists to experience and implement our key methods, knowledge, and business training within their dental practices. To learn more about our guaranteed, no-risk clinical business of dentistry training that is changing dental practices for the better, just go to our website, mypracticemybusiness.com, and surf our pages for additional information about our company and the services we provide. When you're ready, give us a call and get scheduled for the most profitable dental business training that you will ever experience. If you enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call us. Thank you again and have a fantastic day.